Well, it is good to be here with you once again this evening, and always a pleasure to come down and spend some time with you all down here in Home Baptist Church. And it's a blessing to just have sister churches that we can fellowship with, and we need that fellowship, and it's good to know that you know that we're not the only ones in the world, but that we have others in the world that the Lord has preserved. And But we need to continue to pray for the Lord's churches. You know, we're certainly in the last days. We need to pray for the Lord's churches. We need to pray for, you know, we need to pray for those that are being drawn away more and more by this world. You know, it seems like you see that. I mean, you, no doubt you see that, people being drawn away more and more. But we need to pray for one another and encourage one another. And we're looking at the book of 1 Samuel. This evening, 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verses 1 through 6. It says, "And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives and that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." And let's look once again to the Lord in word of prayer. Father, we thank you once again, first of all for you, Father, that you are the high and holy one. Lord, that you are separate from all things, that you are perfect and good in every way. Father, that in you, you are light, and in you there is no shadow of darkness. And Father, we're thankful that it has pleased you to reveal yourself, Father, to your creation, and to reveal yourself even further and in a more blessed way to your people in salvation. And Father, we pray that you would that you would reveal more of yourself tonight, Lord, that you would bless us from your word, that you would encourage us from your word, Lord, and you'd give us all the things we need tonight. Father, we need a fresh glimpse of you. Lord, we need that you to engage us, Father, that it be more than just a religious gathering this evening, but that you would bless us and meet with us. And Father, just give us all the things that we need tonight. Pray that you'd help me to just preach your word in a way that honors you. And Father, in a way that pleases you, in a way that blesses your people. And we ask for your help, and we need your help, Lord, this evening. And we ask for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So the thought we want to bring from these scriptures is that of encouraging ourselves in the Lord. I don't know about you, but you know, I need to be encouraged from time to time. There are times in my life when, you know, I get down, when I get discouraged, and I need to be encouraged. And sometimes it just doesn't seem like there's anyone to encourage, and doesn't seem like any encouragement is effective. And so you're, in those times, you're going to need to be able to encourage yourself in the Lord. You see, that's what David did. He encouraged himself in the Lord. So that's going to be our thought. But like David, there will be many times that things in this life will cause us to weep and to be greatly distressed. In those times, we will need to be encouraged. In those times, people will try to be an encouragement. Some will succeed and others will fail. We will try to encourage ourselves. Some attempts will succeed and others will fail. And the difference between encouragement that is a success or a failure is whether or not it was in the Lord. And that is the key thing to really being encouraged, is encouraging ourselves in the Lord. Not trying to find our encouragement from the world, but being encouraged in the Lord. So, number one, encouragement in general. We just want to think about that a little bit. I like to define thoughts and define words. It helps me to, you know, it just helps me to better have a grasp of the things that we're thinking about. But encourage, the 1828 Webster Dictionary definition of encourage is to give courage to give or increase confidence of success, to inspire with courage, spirit, or strength of mind, to embolden, to animate, to incite, to inspirit. The definition of encouraging, inspiring with hope and confidence, exciting courage. Encouragement then is the motivating principle that keeps us living, you know. It's that thing that you know, when you feel like not getting out of bed in the morning, encouragement gets you up and gets you going. But encouragement is that motivating principle that keeps us living life, that keeps us going when we want to give up, that gets us up and gets us going when all we want to do is lay down and wait for death. You know, you remember Elijah, and he gets under the juniper tree, and he just wants to go off and die. That's enough, Lord. I just can't do it anymore. I'm tired of it all. I just want to lay down and die. You know, and if we're honest, you know, maybe some of you, you know, have a better way of keeping yourself up. But sometimes I can get down like that, you know, and maybe you do too. And I need to be encouraged. And you know, and so you think, well, if I do this or I add this to my life, or I take this vacation, or I do this or that or the other, you know, that's what I need. You know, I just need to get away and that'll just lift my spirits up. Well, and then you'll find out that after that, that really wasn't what you needed. What you really needed was the Lord. What you really needed was to draw near to Him, because He has what you need. He has the encouragement that you need. Nothing else in this world is going to encourage you like the Lord can. I mean, He is the one that you need. He is what you need. When you think, I don't know what I need, and I think, well, I need to do this, or I need to do that, or I need to add this thing or that thing to my life. No, that isn't it. It's the Lord. He's the one that will encourage you. He's the one that will give you what you need. But encouragement says, it says believe, it says hope, it says live, it says fight, it says win. Encouragement says try again. Encouragement says never give up, never let go, never doubt God. It is that motivating thing that just keeps us going. None of us can do without encouragement. None of us, you know, none of us can do without that. If this life gets you down and you lose courage just to go on and just to keep on keeping on, you know, that's not a good place to be. You need to be encouraged in the Lord. You need to get up from under that juniper tree. You need to get up and get going and get serving the Lord. You need to get that, you know, because otherwise you're just going to lay down and you're going to give up. Don't do that. Get up and get going. But find your encouragement in the Lord. But none of us can do without encouragement. But the truth is, this world is not a very encouraging place. This world is not a very encouraging place. And so we need to be careful to seek encouragement from the right place. And that brings us to the second thought. Don't seek encouragement from the world. Don't seek encouragement from the world. I mean, we make that error more often than we realize. More often than if we do realize, than we're willing to admit. We go to the world for some sort of an encouragement, but we're not going to find it there. We seek encouragement from the world and the things of this life far more than we realize. And far more than we would readily admit. Excuse me. But to be sure, there is no real and lasting encouragement to be had in the world. It just isn't going to last. It just isn't. It may be a temporary distraction. At best, that's what you'll find in this world. A temporary distraction. It'll just distract you for a time from your problems and your difficulties and the things you're dealing with in your life. It's just going to distract you. But guess what? It doesn't get rid of the problem. I mean, you're going to have to come back and you're going to face the problem again and try some other avenue of being encouraged. But the thing is you're not going to find it in the world. It's not there. Let's go to 1 John for a minute. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. 1 John 2 and 15. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. But everything in this life is going to pass away. You know, it's all a temporary thing. Everything in this world is temporary. And that stuff's all going to pass away. It's not going to last. It is all temporary. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2. We'll read there a minute. You know, whenever you start getting distracted, you know, by the things of this life, you just need to go read Ecclesiastes and be reminded of what the value is of the pursuits of this life. The things of this life without God, just go read Ecclesiastes again. And remind yourself that no matter what I try, this is going to be what it ends up like. But verses 1 and 2 of Ecclesiastes there, it says, "The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity." You know, and if you're living for the things of this world, and you're living for the things under the sun, as that's what the book is addressing. Living life under the sun, and what is the profit of that? You know, just living for this world, it's emptiness. It's vanity. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. All is vanity. But, so, how much of this world and this life is vanity, preacher? You know, you could ask, how much of it, preacher? All of it, saith the preacher. All of it. He says all of it. You know, everything that's not in association with living for the Lord and the things of eternity, that is just about this life and just about the things of this life. How much of that's vanity? All of it. All of it. And so that is going to be, you know, quite discouraging. It's not very encouraging. everybody has these little things in their life, and you know, to try to busy themselves and distract themselves and keep themselves happy. But really, there isn't anything in it. There's no value in it. You know, my wife, she teases me. She calls me the joy zapper. You know, that's one of the privileges of having a pastor for your husband. He points out all the little vanities of life. You know, well, that's just nothing, and that's nothing, and that, you know, that, what's the good in that? What's the purpose in that? What's the use in that? You know, and I'm always pointing that out, and she's like, she calls me the joy zapper. You know, but I'm just telling her the truth. There's no value in it. There isn't anything in it that's lasting value. Because, you know, that's the preacher's job description, according to Ecclesiastes. You know, this is the words of the preacher. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities. The preacher is supposed to tell you, don't live for this life. Don't live for the things of this world, because they're going to leave you wanting. They're going to leave you dissatisfied. They're going to leave you discontent. They're going to leave you not at peace. They're not going to satisfy your soul. Vanity of vanity. That's the preacher's job, you know. Get up and say, don't live for the world. Live for the Lord. Live for the things of God. That's the job description. And so, you know, I'll leave the lying to Joel Osteen and the TV preachers, you know. I'll let them do the lying. But I'm here to tell you, this world is more than empty. And I want you to get that. More than empty. Vanity of vanities, that's just emptiness of emptiness. Worthlessness of worthlessness. But it's more than empty. It is a spiritual vacuum. Don't just think that it's just taking up time. Don't just think that it's just taking up, you know, it's just a harmless thing. You know, it's going to suck the life out of you. It's more than empty. To pursue the world, without regard to the Lord. But it's a spiritual vacuum. It will suck the life out of you and leave you empty. That's why you pursue this thing. You get down, and then you pursue this thing, and you think, oh, I still don't feel, you know, any better. And you keep pursuing, and it just seems to get worse and worse and worse and worse. Well, it's just sucking the life out of you. Look in verses of Ecclesiastes there, chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. He goes on to say, I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem, and I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sort of veil hath God given to the sons of men to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. You know, that is a taking away, that is a subtraction, that is an eating up. It will use up your life. It'll take away from you and not add to your life. So the things that you're pouring your life into, that's taking away from you. It's not building you up. It is stressing you out, and it's taking your time, it'll eat you up. It'll eat you up if you're pursuing the things of this life. And so realize that it's a spiritual vacuum. And it's no wonder we get burnout. It's no wonder that we get tired. It's no wonder we get down. It's no wonder we get depressed and discouraged. Because that's what this world does. It's vanity and vexation of spirit. It will take away. It'll take away from your spirit. And so we've got to understand that. Don't go seeking it from the world. So if you seek encouragement from the world, realize you will end up more discouraged than you began. You know, you think, I just can't get out of this rut. I just can't figure out what's wrong with me. Well, it's probably because you're seeking the world and the things of the world. You're trying to find comfort. You're trying to find encouragement of something of this life. We end up more discouraged than when we begin. But let's name a few common examples of seeking encouragement from the world. You know, one of my things that you can never tell because I'm in top physical shape is food, comfort food. You know, don't we do that sometimes? Don't some of us have that issue? You know, I get down, get discouraged, get a little depressed. Well, I'm just gonna go eat a gallon of ice cream, or whatever. You know, we seek encouragement from the wrong thing. And that doesn't do any good, if you go seeking comfort from food, you're going to end up unhealthy. You know, you're going to end up more discouraged and more depressed in the end because you're getting more unhealthy and you're getting more out of shape, and you're getting more tired, because you're looking for encouragement in the wrong thing. You're misplacing, a need that the Lord, that only the Lord could satisfy. Something that he can fulfill. What about entertainment? We think, it's just been a long day and I'm just going to turn on the TV and I'm just going to just let the world come in and just fill myself up with entertainment. There's so many kinds of entertainments. We've got so much access to things that distract us, to the internet and all different ways that you can engage in the internet and just be consumed and distracted in your thoughts and just try to find some comfort in entertainment. But what happens is we end up filled with the world and empty of God. Why? Because we spend our time on the internet, or we spend our time watching the TV when we could have been reading our Bible. We could have been praying. We could have been spending time with the Lord. We could have been engaged in some sort of a godly activity that would have actually encouraged us. But, we were tired and we were worn out. We think, I just need to relax and I just need to, disengage. And what happens is, you turn yourself on neutral. But the thing is you never really can do that because, you always are either going forward or backward with the Lord. And if you put your life in neutral, you'll always have a tendency to go backwards. And you're filling yourself up with the world. You've only got so much of you. You've only got so much time in a day. And so you think, I just got to have these things or that or the other thing. And you know what? It's actually the Lord is that you need. But entertainment, it'll fill your life up with meaningless time and things that are not the Lord, and it'll leave you empty. What about shopping and spending? I just need to buy this, or I need to buy the other thing, or I just need to go, get a loan so I can have this thing, and that's what will make me happy. Well, what happens then? We end up with more debt, and we end up with more time at work, and we end up with more problems and more difficulties and more stress, and we're running out of time, because we're having to spend and make up for that. What about hobbies and vacations? Nothing wrong with hobbies and vacations, if you keep them in perspective, but you can get carried away with those things and, you use too much of your thoughts. How much time do you spend thinking about your hobbies, or how much time do you spend thinking about the things you're going to do? And you're spending all that time thinking about what you're going to do when, you could have used that time to think about the Lord, and that would have encouraged you. And think about God and think about all his blessings in your life, and that would have lifted you up and encouraged you. But instead you engaged your mind and your thoughts and your time, into something else. And again, there's only so much of you. But this will lead to mental and physical exhaustion. Vacations. I need to go on a vacation. What happens on a vacation? You end up, just to really tired out when you come back from your vacation, and so we get these ideas. Well, this is what I need, but keep them in perspective, realizing that more than likely it's just going to drain me or it's going to consume my thoughts and it's going to leave me without the time I need for the Lord. What about excessive busyness and work? Some people love to keep themselves busy, and keep their minds occupied, and they pour themselves into business or work, I know people like that just pour themselves into that, and then they spend all their energies in that, and there just isn't anything left, and they end up spread too thin. They feel like there's never enough time in their life for anything, Well, it's because they've made themselves so busy that they don't leave themselves time for, the things that matter, the things that, family and church and reading their Bible and praying and spending time with the Lord. So I don't have time for that. Well, whose fault is that? Make some time. Make some time in your life to spend with the Lord. It's a very important thing. It's the most important thing that we spend time with the Lord. Of course, there's other avenues, drugs and alcohol, even prescription meds. We can lean on that too much. There's obviously, if there's a medical need, then there's a medical need. But, there can be abuse of that as well. And we think, I just need this crutch in my life. Well, no, you don't need the crutch. You need the Lord. You know, what about tobacco products? You know, cigarettes and you know, chewing tobacco and things like that. You don't need it. It's just a crutch. You're giving yourself a false sense of, you know, well-being. You don't need it. You don't need it. You know, what about sleep aids? You know, do we really need those things, or is it because we're all distraught? We're not where we need to be with the Lord. You know, I don't know. You know, sometimes, again, there are medical issues. I'm not saying if you got medical issues, you know, don't address them. But what I am saying is don't abuse medicine. People use that and they abuse it. You know, and that just ends up with a false sense of well-being. You know, it's just a crutch rather than having what you really need, which is the encouragement of the Lord. Of course, that all those things can lead to adverse health effects, drug dependence. You know, what about, you know, all the sexual immoralities in the world? Don't people turn to that? You know, for some kind of a, you know, some they think they need something from that, but all that leads to is a low sense of self-worth, guilt, a life consumed and ruined. By those things, by the pursuit of those things. Read in Proverbs. Read about the end of those sorts of pursuits in your life. It's going to consume your life. It's going to leave you, you know, with bitterness and you know, and destruction, and it's just not going to end well. You know, what about, you know, worldly friends and things like social media and Facebook and seeking encouragement from the world, in other words, you know. You're trying to find some encouragements from somewhere, and you go to the world. Listen, they're not going to give you any good advice. They're going to give you more and more vanities. They're going to give you more bad advice. You know, I see people go to that sort of a source for encouragement. Listen, you ought to be going to the Lord, you know. You ought to be going to your pastor. You ought to be going to some fellow church members and, you know, and encouraging one another in the Lord. Don't go out to the world, and don't go out to find the lowest of the low to encourage you. I mean, what in the world are you thinking? Don't go to the world, you know, to find encouragement. Go to the Lord and go to the people that love the Bible and spend their life in those things. That's where you're going to find some encouragement. Don't go to the world. People go to the world. What in the world could you be thinking? But go to the Lord and go to the things that are around the Lord. That's where you're going to find encouragement. And of course, there's a million other things that I couldn't personally think of, but maybe, you know, that maybe you have issues with in your life. But any other thing that you try to substitute for what only God can give you, that's just not going to be enough. You know, anything in this life that's not the Lord, it's Him. He's what you need. And I mean, we try these things and these little things, and they seem like these innocent little things, but it's the Lord. And we need to be reminded of that a lot. You know what? Because we forget it all the time, you know. We forget it every week, just about. We'll go out and we will be re-engaged in the world, and we'll re-engage in all these little things in our life that we think that we need. We think that it'll entertain us, that we think that it'll fulfill us, you know, satisfy us, encourage us in some way, and we're going to be left wanting again. We're going to be spending our life in these other things, in these other pursuits, and then we're going to be left empty, and we're going to say, why am I so empty? Why am I so down? Why am I so discouraged? Well, it's because we've invested too much of our life into things of this and things of this world. There's only so much of you to go around, and you could either invest your life in the things of God, or you can invest it in the world. But you know, if you invest it in the world, it's going to leave you discouraged. It's the vanity and the vexation. It's going to take away from your life and not add to it. But anything less than God is not going to be enough. I mean, when it boils right down to it, that's what it is. Anything less than God. We go to the world all the time. And if we were honest and we admitted and we thought about it a minute, we would say, yep, I have this in my life, and I have this in my life, and I have these things in my life. And, you know, I chase after those things for a while, but then they get old and they get bored of it, and I go look for something else. You know, we have these things. We have these tendencies. We need to address it. We need to realize that it's not going to satisfy. The only thing that's going to satisfy is the Lord. But let's look in. let's see here. I don't have it wrote down here. See if I can find it real quick. Luke chapter 10. And we'll just read verse 38 there and read down through Luke 10 and verse 38. It says, now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bitter therefore that she helped me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. And, you know, I bet you there's plenty of us here today that you could identify with Martha. And you're careful and troubled about many things. You've got all this busyness. You've got all this stress. You've got all these responsibilities. You've got all these things going on. And you can put yourself in Martha's shoes. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful. And do you believe that today? You Marthas out there. Do you believe that today, that what Jesus said is true for you? Just as it was true for Martha. Do you really believe what he says is true? But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. See, the good part, the necessary part of each and every day, of all of your life, is Jesus. And spending time with him. You've got all this busyness, and you've got all these responsibilities, but first and foremost is Jesus. And spending time with him. And nothing else is going to satisfy your soul like Jesus will. There isn't anything else. He's the good part of life. Don't miss the good part of life running after the world. The good part of life is Jesus and spending time with him. And if you're not seeking that good part of life, you're missing out on the most important thing, the most blessed thing of every day of all your life. It's your relationship with Jesus. And don't substitute anything in this world for spending time with him, for enjoying him. When's the last time you just sat down and enjoyed your relationship with Jesus? Just sat down and just spent time with him and enjoyed that time with him. You know, we need to do that each and every day. That's the one needful thing. That's what's going to get us up out of the dumps. And that's what's going to encourage us. And that's what's going to give us the encouragement we need to go face the day and go face our responsibilities and deal with all the things we got to deal with in life. It's Jesus. He's that one needful thing. And we've all got to spend time with him. So anything less than that is going to leave us wanting. It's going to leave us feeling empty. It's going to leave us feeling, without that peace and that comfort that we need. So find it in him. And that brings us to the third thought then. Seek to be encouraged in the Lord. And let's look back in 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 6 there. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Not only had David's family been taken, but now all the people wanted to stone him because they were so grieved and they were so distraught, and they wanted to blame somebody and take it out on somebody. So they were blaming David. And so all this was piling on him, and he was greatly distressed. But David encouraged himself in the Lord, the Lord his God. So then the third thought, seek to be encouraged in the Lord. That's where you're going to find it. Don't look for it in the world. Look for it in the Lord. This is the key to truly being encouraged. How do you go about encouraging ourselves in the Lord? How do we do that? Well, the same way you would encourage someone else. You know, how would you encourage somebody else? You know, if they were down, if they were discouraged, you know, what would you do? You would point them to the Lord. You would point them to the Word of God. You would give them some scripture that would encourage them. Boy, I tell you what, you want to encourage somebody that's a child of God, especially. You want to encourage them when they're down. Send them a scripture. Talk to them. Give them a verse of scripture. You know, I remember when I was we were down in the hospital with Wyatt, and things didn't look good, and it didn't look like he was going to make it. You know, and we were pretty distressed, and we were pretty down. Some of our church members sent texts. You know, they would send texts, and I still have them marked in my Bible. They were such a blessing to me. They were such an encouragement. They were such a, you know, they lifted me up so, and reminded me of God. They reminded me of him. And they drew my attention to the Lord. And I tell you what, that encouraged me. That gave me hope. That restored my faith and caused me to look to the Lord and to be encouraged. One of those scriptures was in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, I believe. But it reminded me that the battle is the Lord's. And it reminded me that no matter how many things and how great the army is and how many things come against you in your life, the battle is the Lord's. It's not your battle. And he's going to fight for you. And he's the one that's going to give you the victory. You know, those kind of things, we need to be reminded of. And that encourages us, right? And another scripture that was about prayer. And then it said, you know, it said, but the Lord hath heard me. You know, He heard me. He hears my prayer. And as I read that, you know, the Lord kind of gave that to me in a way, in a special way that, you know, caused me to ask almost a hopeful question. Lord, can it be that You've heard my prayer? You know, and in a way, you know, and it encouraged me. But listen, that's what we need. We need to be encouraged in the Lord. And the same way that you would do that for somebody else, you need to do that for yourself. You know, you would remind somebody else of the Lord. Why not remind yourself? Why not remember? Why not consider God and consider His Word and consider all the blessings of God in your life? You know, the devil is, you know, on your back. He's got you down. He's standing on your chest. He's trying to crush the life out of you. And all you need to do is remember the Lord. Remember the Word of God, and it's going to lift you up. It's going to get you back up to where you need to be. But He wants to keep you down by discouraging you. He wants to keep you full of fear and doubt and worry and stress and just keep you down. But if you remember the Lord and remember the promises of His Word and His blessings in your life, and you dwell on those things, it'll lift you up. It'll get you back up where you need to be. But encourage yourself in the Lord. Be reminded of your God. Be reminded of all of His promises and all of His blessings in your life. Be reminded of that and be encouraged in the Lord. And so we remind ourselves, or we remember the truth of God and His relationship to our lives. You know, we consider Him. But look in Psalm 42. Psalm 42 and verses 5 and 6. Psalm 42 and verses 5 and 6. It says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" Do you ever feel like that? I just don't even know why I feel like this. I don't even know why I'm depressed. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God." You know, he's thinking, having a conversation with himself. "Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance." And notice that, the help of His countenance. Well, what is the countenance of God? Well, that basically is the face of God. That basically is His favor and His blessings on your life. The smiling face of God, you might consider that. The countenance of God. God smiling upon your life. That is a help to you. "For I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance." That is His smiling face. That is His favor. That is His grace. That is His blessings upon your life. "Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember Thee." You see, there's the key. "I will remember Thee from the land of Jordan and from the Hermonites and from the hill of Mizar." Now go over to verse 11 of that same psalm. He says again, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God." Now notice, it's a little difference in the end here. "For I shall yet praise Him who is the health of my countenance and my God." So as we behold the smiling face of God, as we consider His goodness in our life, that's going to change our countenance. That's going to change us from discouragement and being down to being lifted up, to being blessed and rejoicing in the Lord. It's going to transform our attitude. It's going to transform our spirit from that of being cast down to that of being lifted up and encouraged in the Lord. It's the health. It says, "For I shall yet praise Him who is the health of my countenance and my God." He's the one that will give you a healthy countenance, a smiling face, a rejoicing spirit, an encouraged attitude toward life again. It's by beholding the smiling face of God, considering Him and all of His blessings in your life. That will lift you up. But remember to look into the smiling face of God, and soon you will be restored to an attitude of faith, confidence, and joy in the Lord. But to be encouraged, in the Lord, then means to be encouraged in His person and attributes. Obviously, you consider Him. You think about Him. You think about His goodness, and you think about, you know, His attributes and who He is. And that'll lift you up, and that'll comfort you, just considering the Lord Himself and all of His goodness. And then also make use of godly means that He has supplied in your life. The things surrounding God, you know, that would be the Bible, and that would be prayer, and that would be church, and the preaching of God's word, and all those things He's given to be an encouragement. Listen, if you're discouraged, don't stay away from church. You know, isn't that a tendency sometimes? You maybe even find it in yourself. You get down, you get depressed, you get discouraged, and you think, I just want to stay home today. I just don't want to see anybody today. I just don't want to be around people today. You know what? That's the worst thing that you can do. You need to be encouraged. You need to be in church. You need to be surrounded by God's people, and you need to be under the preaching of God's word, and you need to be where God blesses. You know, don't stay away. That's what the devil wants you to do. You know, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He wants to separate you from the flock. He wants to get you off by yourself, and he wants to beat you up, beat you down, and discourage you. And then he wants to just ruin your life. The longer he can keep you away, and the farther he can keep you away, the worse it's going to get. You need to get back with the people of God. You need to get back in church and get under the preaching of God's word and get around God's people. That's what you need. You see, don't do what the devil wants you to do. You think the Lord wants you to stay away from church? No, of course not. The devil wants you to stay far away. And he's going to discourage you. And you know what? Discourage you from going to church, but he's going to encourage you to stay away. He's going to give you every reason in the world why you ought not to go to church today. But you know what? You need to be in church. There is no reason, you know, other than being, you know, providentially hindered, illness, things like that, obviously. But I'm talking about willfully staying away because I just don't feel like going to church today. That's the devil. Don't listen to that. You need to be in church. You need to be around God's people so you can be encouraged. Encouraged in the preaching of God's word. But not only that, so you can be an encouragement to other people. Amen. You know what? We come together, and not only are we encouraged, but we encourage others. You know, that's part of being a church member. We all have a responsibility to watch over one another in brotherly love, to pray for one another, to be concerned about one another, to encourage one another. You know, we all have that responsibility. And so when you stay away and the devil gets you to stay away, you know, you're neglecting not only yourself, but you're neglecting your fellow church members and their encouragement, you see. And don't do that. You need to be in church, and you need to be where you can be encouraged, where you can be an encouragement to others, you know. That's how it works. But those are the things we need to be around. We need to meditate on the person of God. This will do wonders for your soul. Just think about God. And think about who He is, and consider all the blessings of who God is, and that will do wonders for your soul. And consider, your relationship, to the God of all, your relationship to your Savior, and consider Him, and that will just lift you up. But look in Jeremiah chapter 9 for a minute. Jeremiah chapter 9, and verses 23 and 24, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." But glory in your relationship with God. Glory in the fact that He has revealed Himself to you in a saving way and taught you His word and added you to one of His churches and poured out blessings in your life. And glory in that relationship that you understand and know Him. And the fact that He exercises loving kindness in your life each and every day. Loving kindness is each and every day in your life. He's exercised loving kindness countless times in our lives. Try to count them as the song instructs. And you'll be encouraged in the Lord. Count your many blessings, you know. Go ahead and try to do that. You know what? If we're honest, have you ever done that? Have you ever sat down and tried to count them all? We're too lazy. We're too lazy to even sit down and count all of our blessings, you know. But if you sat down and you counted your blessings, you start considering the goodness of God in your life, you cannot stay down and discouraged. That is going to lift you up when you consider the goodness of God in your life. Sit down and count your blessings. And think, and then be reminded of the fact that I don't have any reason to be down in the dumps. I'm saved, and I'm on my way to be with the Lord forever. And I've got countless blessings in my life, and I can look around and see the way that God has blessed me in my life. I have no reason and no right to be down in the dumps. But I have every reason to be rejoicing in the Lord, you see. But we need to be looking to Him. We need to be reminded of that, and we need to sit down and think about it a while and ponder the goodness of God in our lives. That'll lift us up. get us where we need to be. So meditate on the person of God, but also make use of godly means. And we've mentioned it already, but God has supplied us with many godly means of edification and encouragement. Let's go back to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verses 7 and 8. So David encouraged himself in the Lord. And so what did he do? What did he do? How did that work in verses 7 and 8 there of 1 Samuel 30? And David said to Abiathar the priest, Elimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. Now the ephod was part of the priest's garment. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. Now Abiathar is the only priest left. Saul had killed all the other ones. And the only one left was Abiathar. He escaped. But in verse 8, and David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. But we see David used means. You know, he called for the ephod, he called for the priest, he called for that intercession. He made use of prayer to encourage himself in the Lord. You know, and we have means. God has given us means to get us up and get us going and get us out of discouragement and encourage us. You know, obviously the Bible. Get that thing open and read it. Read the Word of God. It'll encourage you. It'll bless you. Prayer. Spend time with the Lord in prayer. Don't just come to Him with your grocery list. You know, and I don't have a whole lot of time, Lord, here it is, blah, 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 and shoom, and away you go. No, sit down and spend some time with the Lord. Enjoy Him. Worship Him. Be engaged with the Lord in prayer. Spend some time with the Lord. Sit down with Mary. You know, take a break from the world. Sit down with Mary and enjoy your time with the Lord. You know, that's what prayer is all about. It isn't rush, 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 rush. You know, I got to hurry up and get this done so I can get going. You know, no. Sit down and spend some time with the Lord. That's a means. That'll get you where you need to be. Of course, we have worship. We have church. We have that godly fellowship with one another. We have singing. Oh, what a blessing. What a blessing that God has given us godly music and song. You know, that we can sing and we can listen to and we can think about godly and scriptural music. Those things are going to encourage us and lift us up. Those are all means that God has given. Make use of the things. Make use of the things that God has given us to use. But we have many means that will encourage us in the Lord if we apply them to our lives consistently. If we would be consistently encouraged in the Lord, then we need to make consistent use of the means God has given to us. But let's go back to Psalm chapter 1. I love Psalm 1. I love the description of the blessed life here. You know, blessed basically means the opposite of cursed. It means basically, it's sort of like, to help us to understand it, cursed with happiness. You know, everything I do is good. Everything I do is blessed. You know, rather than, you know, thinking that you're cursed, everything I do just turns out bad. Well, blessed is the opposite of that. You know, it's that you have a very happy life, a very good life, because the Lord is blessing you. And how does that come about? Well, Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't go to the world. That's not where the blessings are. Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. When is the last time that you found the Bible your delight? That you didn't think down, well, I need to read my Bible. I have to read my Bible. I'm obligated to read my Bible. But you sat down and thought, I can't wait to read my Bible. I can't wait to get in here. Because this is my delight. And this is my bread. And this is my spiritual sustenance. And I need to get into this Word. When's the last time you delighted in the Word of God? You see, we need to delight in it. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. There's another thing, a lost art, if you will. A lost practice in our busy, busy, busy schedules. Meditate. Guess what? That takes time. Sit down and think about God and think about what His Word means. Consider it. Ponder it. Meditate. You see, we're so busy, 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 we never stop to think about the Word of God. Maybe we got our Bible schedule and we're reading through it and we're hurrying along and we're not even thinking about what we're reading. Well, that didn't do you any good. You got to think about the Bible and think about the Word of God and consider it. Meditate on it. Chew on it. You know, take a verse of Scripture and take that thing with you throughout the day and ponder that verse and consider that verse and meditate on that verse. And the Lord will bless you and He'll teach you and He'll feed your soul and He'll supply you with the things you need. But we can't just, you know, we can't just take it lightly and not just get into the Word of God and really meditate in it. But he says, and in His law doth he meditate day and night. You see, that's again, when we're filling up our life with amusement, you know, that's the muse is to think. Amuse is not to think. We fill our life up with amusement so we don't have to think about our life. Well, guess what? That's taking up time from thinking and musing and meditating on the Word of God. You know, that takes time. There's no other way around it. But we filled our life up with so much busyness and so much entertainment that we just don't sit down and think about the Word of God. But we need to do that. We need to do that. But as we meditate in the Word of God, in verse 3, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You know what happens when you plant a tree by a water source? Well, it has its supply of water. It's not gonna dry out. It's not gonna wither. It's not gonna die because it has that water supply. And your life is gonna be like that. Well, your water supply is the Word of God. It's gonna supply your soul with what you need. And it's gonna keep you nourished and healthy and fruitful, and your life full of blessing. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. What a blessing. What a life. That, you know, why does it prosper? Is it a magical thing that happens? No. It's because you've been in the Bible and you love the Bible and you read the Bible and you meditate in the Bible and you apply the Bible to your life. So guess what? Your life is blessed because you're living by the Bible. You know what the Bible says. You apply the Bible and the decisions you make and the places you go and the actions you take in this world. You're living the Bible out. Guess what? That's a blessed life. That's a prosperous life. You're making good decisions because they're Bible-based. You've been thinking about the Word of God. You're applying the Word of God. Your life is blessed. You see, that's the kind of things we need. We need to be in the Word of God and encouraged in the Word of God and living out the Word of God. And then we're going to have a blessed, happy life. You see, it's you know, that's what it's about, being the Word of God and living by the Word of God. That's where the blessed life is. But we're encouraged as we get in the Word of God. Look also in Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. And verse 18 down through 21 there. It says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is access, be filled with the Spirit." Here's another one of those, like David encouraged himself a little. Well, how did he do that? Well, he used those means. He approached unto God in prayer, and he used the means of the intercession of the priests and things, and he used those means. And you know, well, how do you be filled with the Spirit? Well, it goes on to say, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You know, sing to the Lord and consider the Word of God and have a song in your heart that'll bless you and encourage you and lift you up. It goes on, it says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father. Have a thankful spirit, a thankful attitude. Instead of always being disgruntled about your life and all the problems and all the difficulties, start thanking God for the blessings that you have in your life. And it'll change your whole attitude and your outlook. You know, thank God for the things that He's blessed you with. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Goes on, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Submit to the things of God and the authorities that God has placed over your life. And, you know, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. But all these things are going to have a tendency to fill you up with the Spirit. You know, but make use of the Word of God. Make use of prayer. Make use of meditation. Make use of godly songs. And, you know, and those things are going to encourage you. Those are the means God's given. They're not that hard. They're not too far out there for us to get a hold of, you know. But in our busy schedules, we say, well, I just don't have time. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You might have to get rid of some stuff. You might have to make some time, but you have time. You have time and you know what? There isn't anything more important than that spending time with the Lord. Being in the Word of God, meditating in the things of God, praying and seeking the Lord and considering Him singing godly songs that stir you up and encourage you and get you where you need to be. But you know, all of those things are means. And if we use those things, we're going to be encouraged in the Lord. And back in our text there in 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 9, it says, here's what happened after David encouraged himself in the Lord. He got going. David got up and he got going. He got victory. Verse 9 there, so David went, he and 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Bezor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David, he went. He got up. He got going. Verses 16 down through 20 there says, And when he had brought him down, behold, there were spread abroad upon the earth eating. They were spread abroad, the Amalekites that came and took the people, but eating and drinking and dancing because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day, and there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men which rode upon camels and fled. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives, and there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil, nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. And David took all the flocks and the herds which they drave before those other cattle, and said, "This is David's spoil." But David got going, and he got the victory. You know, that's exactly what God will give you in your life. You know, He'll get you up, He'll get you going, and He'll give you the victory over all the things that are troubling you and all the things that are, you know, bringing you down. He's going to encourage you, He's going to get you up, He's going to get you going again, and He's going to give you the victory. But because David didn't give in to his distresses, but rather encouraged himself in the Lord, he got going, and the Lord gave him the victory over the things that were distressing him. And we can expect certainly the same things if we encourage ourselves in the Lord. Just make use of the means that He's given. You know, seek Him and look to Him and be encouraged in the Lord. And that's gonna lift you up. That's going to give you the things you need. Don't look forward in the world. Look forward in the Lord. He's the only one that can give you what you need. He's that one needful thing. He's that good part. And seek to spend time with Him and be encouraged in Him. But we're going to bring this thought to a conclusion. There will be plenty of things to discourage and distress us in this life. I mean, there's plenty of things that'll get us down. But if we encourage ourselves in the Lord as David did, God will give us the victory. God will encourage you. He will lift you up. He will get you going, you know. It might not be the easiest road in the world, but you know what? He won't let you lay down and die. He'll get you up. He'll get you going. And in the end, He'll give you the victory. So be encouraged in the Lord. But we'll stop with that and turn the service back to Brother Larry.